I'm Peter Medlin, and you are listening to Teacher's Lounge here at WNIJ. And if this is your first time ever hearing our show, I mean, I've got tremendous news for you. It's based on a really simple idea that we've all had teachers in our lives who helped us become who we are today. And every educator we have on the podcast, whether teacher, coach, or professor, is nominated by you, the folks who listen. We want you to be a part of this show with us, so please tell us about the educators who've inspired you and also the folks in your community who deserve a spotlight. You can email us with your nominations at teachersLounge@niu.edu. And today on Teacher's Lounge, it is my conversation with John Galassi. John is the band director at Stillman Valley High School, where he recently won the Rockford Symphony Orchestra's Outstanding Music Educator Award. And we had a really fantastic, wide-ranging conversation covering everything from the magic of high school band to his previous career in actual magic. And John talks a lot about why band can be so important to students figuring out how to express themselves.
Even today, kids tell me, like, the only reason I was able to get up and go to school this morning is because I knew I had band today. Like, it's that, you know, creative outlet where kids can feel, you know, safe and connected to each other. And I tell kids all the time, there's nothing like playing a musical instrument.
We also talk about how hard learning music is and how to keep students excited even when they're frustrated by not being really good right away in our instant gratification era. And speaking of eras, we also have a fun Taylor Swift tangent near the end. Stay tuned for that, Swifties. Now, before our conversation, we do have a story we want to share. The other day was the first day of school at the brand new Dr. Leroy A. Mitchell Elementary School in DeKalb, and I recently got a behind-the-scenes tour to learn more about what's in store for this year. Construction crews are finishing the gymnasium and there are carpets to put down, but as Principal Maurice McDavid shows me around, you can already hear kids giggling in a classroom.
Bogar, kindergarten friends, probably doing some play-based learning right now. Oh yeah, they got some duck, duck, goose going in there.
Soon, over 400 students from kindergarten through fifth grade will sit in these classrooms. And for McDavid, it's still a little hard to believe we're at the culmination of a multi-year, nearly $34 million renovation effort. And at the official grand opening, Superintendent Minerva Garcia Sanchez says, at the end of the day, this new school is a response to the district's needs.
To reduce overcrowding, balance enrollment across our district, and ensure all children have access to a modern, welcoming, and safe learning environment.
McDavid says opening this school allows them to lower class sizes while lessening dependence on busing. That's because Mitchell sits in DeKalb's North Corridor neighborhood, where over 30% of the district's elementary age kids live.
Within our general education population, we should have pretty much only students walking.
A new school also means they can think about classroom design, both in terms of how classrooms are laid out in the building and how each individual room is set up.
So one of the things I think to note about Mitchell is that it really was designed with some of our special programs in mind, rather than kind of an afterthought with some of these older buildings.
DeKalb's special education program is known as SOAL. That's S-O-A-L, short for Specialized Opportunities for Academic and Life Skills. And at Mitchell, students in the program share a wing with kids their same age instead of getting isolated in some corner of the building. And in one of those classes, a teacher unloads boxes.
Is that looking good?
It is. So with our SOAL program in particular, right, the idea of having these workspaces where students are able to be doing some small group work.
And Mitchell is a STEAM school, complete with labs for hands-on projects with plugs hanging from the ceiling. They also have a music room, community garden,
eggplant,
and of course,
poke your head out here. Look at that playground, baby, let's go.
The school's named after DeKalb pastor and educator Dr. Leroy A. Mitchell. He was the longtime director of NIU's Chance program, and Dr. Mitchell attended and spoke at the grand opening.
This is tremendous. Young people will be excited about coming to school and staying in school. I'm grateful to have my father's name on this building.
The building features a mural of Dr. Mitchell where students can learn about his passion for education, and McDavid says the plan is to have him come back to speak to the kids early in the school year. And this new school was also a homecoming for Principal McDavid. He grew up in DeKalb, started his career here, and his kids attend the district. He's also aware that this is a major project, and with that comes some disruption.
You know, if I read somebody who is frustrated with having to move schools, you know, oh, my fifth grader's been at this other school for, you know, K through four, and now they've got to move schools, I think to myself, that's kind of my fault. I'm sorry. You know, except that, of course, I didn't make the decision, right? But I'm fully on board with it, and I think that this place coming online is good for DeKalb.
Mitchell's mascot is the Monarchs, and there are butterflies painted around the building. It evokes beauty and growth, but also monarchs like greatness, kings and queens. And McDavid says he's confident that they can build a sense of belonging and beauty while expecting academic excellence.
We're talking about chronic absenteeism. We're talking about academic performance on assessments. But those things are going to happen within this space where people are safe.
And as you're hearing this, DeKalb's Dr. Leroy A. Mitchell Elementary is open, and the Monarchs have taken flight. All right, now it's time for my conversation with Stillman Valley Director of Music, John Galassi. And we start off talking about how teacher feedback is a little bit quicker in band.
Teachers, we get like observed, you know, by our administrators, and often one of the questions is like, how do you assess your students? Like, how do you evaluate? And the gold star answer that I always get for that is, well, I am assessing all the time, like in real
when
time.
When am I not
like
assessing them?
Literally, like they're playing something for me, and I'm, you know, I have to hear it back and give them feedback. Like I have no choice but to be assessing them at all times.
Right, and for you specifically with music, right, it is even more immediate than a lot of things are. Like you are literally hearing things in real time and reacting to them.
Oh yeah, exactly. So you know, and again, it does come with experience, which is nice, but it can be intimidating when you first start, like you are one person in front of, you know, 40 or 50 judgy teenagers, basically.
And like you're one person who's like 3 years older than them, really?
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
I'm
not saying right now, but well, when you get started. You
right, know, yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. It can be intimidating. It's basically like you're on the stage in front of a tough audience sometimes, not to mention that they have giant noisemakers.
Yeah.
So
is that something, again, like, is that something that you can prepare for when you're like in college and teacher prep programs? Again, just being in front of 50 judgy teenagers and knowing how to, you know, respond to that, how to maneuver through those social situations and things like that?
Yeah. I mean, when you, a music education degree is like, I don't think anyone ever really, there'll be people like people will say like, oh, you better be prepared. It's very hard. But I mean, it's a lot. It really is. Once you get into it, there's so many moving parts and everything, but you do get experience, you know, you with certain classes, you'll go out and teach in a local high school, like one day of the week and for a
sure.
class period.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's usually at university towns. These are students who are used to this.
Cool. And also like, you'd imagine that you were in high school in school band, so you also kind of know the terrain in that way.
Right, yeah. It's funny, the things that I remember, like, getting away with or being a student in high school band, like, nothing bad, but, like...
getting into the true crime.
You know, no, but, like, oh, well, you know. But, you know, as a student, like, it's like, wow, how did my high school band teacher put up with us? Like, it's sometimes it's like the shoe's on the other foot now. It's kind of crazy.
You go back and thank them. You're like, I don't know how I did that.
Yeah, it was a lot. It can be a lot. It's stressful.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. I was not in the school band in high school. I was in middle school a little bit. So it wasn't quite the same thing. But like, actually, I wanted to run this by you, which I thought was fascinating, because like, this show is based on, you know, teachers being nominated for it, right? Like,
sure.
People email us and they recommend it. So I never really know what sorts of teachers are going to get nominated, right? It's as much of a surprise for me as it is the audience. Like, are we going to get only third grade teachers from one specific city? Or are we going to get, you know what I mean, like, only college professors from a certain, like, are they only going to be English teachers, whatever? In the last like 6 months, we've had an inordinate amount of music teachers that have gotten nominated.
Really?
Like we've had like three or four just like this year get nominated. And I think that it does make sense to me, right? Like, it's a very creative environment in a way that, like, I think students feel like they can express themselves in a way that's a little bit more immediate than maybe you express yourself in a math or social studies classroom. And it's also that kind of social environment that is so meaningful to a lot of people, so they connect to that and they connect with their teacher too. Does that make sense to you?
Oh yeah, of course. I that's great to hear. I mean, when I was in school, I mean, I love school. I love high school especially, but I was a pretty good student and everything, and I liked all of my teachers and my classes, but you know, I get even today kids tell me like, the only reason I was able to get up and go to school this morning is because I knew I had band today. Like, it's that, you know, creative outlet where kids can feel, you know, safe and connected to each other. And I tell kids all the time, there's nothing like playing a musical instrument. It's like, it's the best. It's so cool. Like, it's just totally, and again, you know.
It really is kind of magic, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was at a show last night. I was at a concert, not to, you know, humble brag. I was at a Hozier concert
last
night.
Okay, very cool.
And it is one of those things where it does feel like a magic trick.
Mm.
Where you're like, that's kind of unbelievable that this is happening in front of all these people.
Yeah, it takes a lot of, I mean, and there's, you know, 8 million studies that I always try to like get kids to like understand, like,
oh, you do have those on tap.
You know, well, your brain, it's, I'm not a, you know, not a scientist, surprising, I know, but your brain is, most tasks use like one half of the brain or something like that. And music is one of those things that uses both halves at the same time. Again, don't fact check that, but it's something in that
this
general
public radio. I think we kind of,
it's the general, you know, that realm of things, but because of all the different like things that your brain is doing, you know, you're, when you're playing the instrument, you're reading the notes on the page and you're translating what those mean to what your fingers are doing, and you have to control your breath and also the durations of the notes and all the different aspects of how loud should it be, how fast should it be, you know, you have no choice but to like be super locked in, as the kids say. So it's really quite incredible, and I don't think a lot of the time, I think kids nowadays, I know I sound like, you know, old man yelling at cloud. Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm dating myself a little bit, but sometimes there's this instant gratification complex where kids are like, if I'm not good at something right away, it's going to be, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, which I get, like, who wants to be bad at something? Mm. But, and it is something that it seems easier and easier to avoid.
Mm. Yeah. So, and I get it. Like, yeah. I'm a very, like, I love to be in the moment, but I like to, you know, have that gratification of things being good right away, but it's not how it works. So I tell kids all the time, like, you know, it's big picture. We got to work at this. Like, it's going to, the final product, yeah, it's hard right now, but the output that you do, like, there is nothing like, and you know, there's nothing cocky about thinking this, but people get up and clap for you, like, when you do a good job. Like, how cool is that?
How often does that happen
exactly
in your regular life? Almost never.
Yeah, so it's really, really stinking cool and special that that all that hard work really does pay off. But sometimes it just takes a couple more reminders nowadays, because it's putting in that work is difficult.
It's got to be cool. I'm sure you have those moments, right, where those students remember when they were a little bit frustrated at the beginning of this journey. And then, you know, whether it be a concert at the end of the year or even a specific, you know, nailing a specific piece in a specific practice, where you do get to say, hey, remember what happened when I was telling you at the beginning that this was all going to pay off? Here we are.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I also tell kids, like, music is hard. Like, I know that's like, that seems obvious, or that's like, you know, very generic statement, music is hard. Well, it is. It is really hard. And you're doing this you're electing to take this class, right? It's not, you don't have to take, you know, this class, but you're choosing to take it. And it's really impressive that you're able to do this thing that really not a lot of people can do. When you think about it, it takes a lot to be proficient on a musical instrument, even at the high school band level in a small town. Like, it can feel very small picture, but yeah.
I mean, there's so many people, no matter where they're at. One of the things that people who don't play instruments have in common is that almost all of them wish that they played a musical instrument.
Yes, I've heard that. I have. Or another thing is that I hear all the time, even from older kids in high school, is, I wish I had stuck with it. You know, like, I get that, like, a lot. Like, it's something that it doesn't feel like you'll think that in the small picture, but down the road, like long after you've stopped being able to play football in your old age, you'll still know how to play a musical instrument. You know, it's pretty darn special.
Did you have, I assume that, did you start playing music at a really young age then, or did it come to you a little bit later on?
Yeah, it's funny. I think my parents were always trying to like figure out what I would do, like sign me up for karate lessons. Hated that. Traumatizing. Went to like 2 t-ball practices. Couldn't be asked to go back. Like, so when fifth grade band came around and it was time to try out for that, I was like, oh, this is really cool. And it's really funny. I distinctly remember my fifth grade band teacher, like on the tryout day. I'm pretty sure I tried out every single one, and without much success, actually. And so
I think it's a pretty good strategy, though, honestly.
So, and we landed on trombone somehow. And
do you have recollection of running through the different.
I remember very, very clearly the saxophone, especially like trying to put my hands in the right place. And it was just like, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, please help. But ended up on trombone. It's a good fit. And I mean, that's kind of where it all started in elementary school.
Right, so you have to, again, like, think back to elementary school John and be like, thank God that I, you know, made that, not cognizant at all about where he was going to lead.
Oh, yeah.
Made that decision.
Yeah, and I mean, it was kind of like the cool thing to do, like, when you got to fifth grade, you got to join band and chorus,
right.
And I did both, and so that was kind of like, and I still get that from kids now, it's that, like, the new thing, and of course, you know, a lot of kids will drop out, but yeah, I don't think I had much of, like, a super, like, special like interest in, like, I never took piano lessons until I was in high school,
right.
So it was kind of just like a, you know, all right, let's do fifth grade band and see what happens, and here we are. So yeah,
it's got to be interesting though for you now, right, like when you're a music instructor, when you're directing bands, that you get to again see the social environment that is, you know, the high school band or chorus or whatever it might be, and think back about what your experience was. You probably gives you a lot of time to reflect back on what that experience was like for you too.
Yeah, and I mean, I come from a very artsy family, so in terms of especially music, actually.
Okay.
So yeah, my great grandma Helen Wright was the kind of the champion behind the Woodstock Opera House,
yes,
which is this great old theater. And she kind of started this whole fine arts movement in Woodstock. And she grew up in Chicago. They moved out here. Her husband was an executive for the Kraft Company, you know, mayonnaise
I've
and stuff
that.
Like
I've
that. Yeah,
that, yes.
You know. So they moved out here and she became very involved. And she actually is credited for, they were going to tear the building down and turn into a parking lot in the 70s. And she was the one who kind of spearheaded that movement,
right,
and
the Woodstock Opera House of American cinema fame.
Exactly. Yeah, Groundhog Day. There you go. I think it was the hotel in that one. I can't remember what it was. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. But I mean, it's a great old building, and I mean, I didn't know her very well, but she's certainly a lot of inspiration for, you know, my appreciation for the arts. And I was just directing a musical there a couple weeks ago, and it's really special to get to do that in the building that is kind of very special to our family.
Oh, no kidding. You just got to do that.
Yeah. We just did a production of The Prom, which is kind of a more contemporary musical, which was really fun. And just a nice thing to be able to do during the summer and keep me busy. And I get to do shows over there every so often. And it's regional, you know, local theater company, but it's actually the Theater 121 company, but they get some really good talent. The shows are excellent, and I'm very happy to have been a part of a couple of those. So
that's one thing I am happy to evangelize for, is that over the last year or two, I've had the opportunity to go to a couple, both like local and regional theater. I went to a show at the Riverfront Playhouse at Aurora where they did a Marie Curie show.
That
was incredible performances. And then I've just, like, as an education reporter, I've just gotten to go to a few school productions over the past year or so, and they were just so enthusiastic and also just like very good, very fun performances. And so I tell you something, I'm like, people take advantage of it. I think it's undersold. how, again, much work obviously goes into it, but then just the quality of the performances themselves, whether we're talking about school or community-based theater.
Oh, there's a lot of talent out there. I mean, in Northern Illinois especially, yeah. Like, you don't have to, and I tell kids this, like, Chicago, you can, you know, drive an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes and go see the Chicago Symphony, like one of the best symphony orchestras in the world. Yeah. Like, you know, that talent, it feeds out here. Like, student productions, regional theater, like local community bands. Shout out Byron Civic Band, especially local community band that I direct. Like, there's this talent and art is out there. Like, you don't have to go very far. Like, go see live art, please.
You know, you just talked about with the musical that you did,
sure,
back at home in Woodstock, and then you just mentioned the Byron Civic Band.
Yeah.
On top of all the things that you're involved with at the school level, you do have a couple of other, you know, artistic pursuits outside of that too. Can you run through them a little bit?
Well, yeah. I mean, those are the big ones, like doing musical, conducting orchestras for musicals. And then, yeah, I'm the music director and conductor of the Byron Civic Band, which is local community band, but we get people from all across the state line area to come, and which is super fun. We usually do 3 concerts to fall, a winter, and a spring concert. My principal is actually just talking to her at the end of this school year, and I was saying, oh, I'm doing this over the summer and I direct the plays at our high school, at Silicon Valley High School as well. And she's like, you know, you don't have to do all those things. So I'm like, well, I like to be busy. So it's, I love it. It's, you know, those are opportunities that I'm grateful to have. Like, they're not, you know, anything that's guaranteed to anybody. So that's, you know, the Theater 121 company has all of that faith in me to music direct for their musicals, and the Byron Civic Band members embraced me as their new director pretty quickly. Like, it's an honor to do those things, so I'm happy to be busy.
And keeping you real sharp, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to be on your toes, that's for sure. It's a lot of prep work and a lot of, you know, a lot of that type of, you know, preparation and research and on top of school things as well. But those things intersect as well. Like, I've had, you know, students come out to see the musicals I direct outside of school. I have some of my Stillman Valley High School band students actually perform in the Byron Civic Band. So they get to kind of experience that, you know, a little bit of a level up performing with these really advanced musicians who have been playing for years and years, and they get a kick out of that. So that's pretty cool.
Can you tell me a little bit about conducting and, like, what you really enjoy about that type of work? Because, again, I think that, again, we all kind of look at you and we see you up there waving, but, like, I just want to learn more about what to you is like the kind of artistic and creative satisfaction of doing that work.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I was just talking to one of the pit musicians in the orchestra for the musical that I just did, and we were talking about the difference between being the conductor and playing in the orchestra, and her whole thing was she would much rather be playing in the orchestra than conducting, and I was like, total opposite. I would much rather be conducting than playing.
Which makes sense as a teacher, I guess, right?
Like, yeah, kind of.
A similar situation.
And I know a lot of teachers who, and she was actually a music teacher, so, okay. Like, I know a bunch of music teachers who do play pits, and I have played in musical pits, but it's just, I just love conducting. I don't know. I know for the for people, you know, the average person on the street, it's like, oh, you're just waving your hands, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. And even, you know, students are like, what are you actually doing up there, Mr. Glacey? Like, what, like, why are you making those faces? Like, actually, I had a student tell me, you know, a high schooler, mind you, be like, I just love watching you. Like, you get so into it. And I'm like, thank you. That is a very nice compliment. Like,
do you realize that you are being expressive when you're
I do. And, yeah. You know, you've got to be. You are communicating direction to the ensemble. And I love studying conductors, like Leonard Bernstein is one of my favorites, like, and he is a very, like, intense conductor. But then there are some that do very little but still get a lot of information to the ensemble across. It's a very important role. And just, you know, that back and forth communicating with the musicians, it's not something that a lot of people realize takes a lot of, you know, work and a lot of choices and a lot of preparation.
Yeah, do you remember one of your first times moving from, you know, playing the music to conducting the music?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was really excited kind of get to do that. But it's, you know, like I said earlier, it's intimidating, especially even now today, like when I started conducting the Byron Civic Band, these are all professionals, some of whom have been playing for decades longer than I have even been alive. Like, God bless them. But it's a lot of like, ooh, like, you know, everyone's looking at you. There's a certain amount of theatricality that goes with
in
conducting.
Like a very fun way. It is. It's
oh, yeah.
Musical theater. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I've always, like I said, I'm the, if you do the, what is that called? Those personality tests with the four letters.
Yes.
I can't, you know, and I'm whatever, I can't remember what mine was, but mine is the entertainer type. I mean, I was a magician all through high school. Like, I love performing, like, just in general. So, you know, I never really have had that much of a problem being in front of people and, you know, being expressive like that. But yeah, it's definitely very, can be intimidating. It's a lot of pressure too.
And I imagine like creatively satisfying in a little bit of a different way than being a pit musician.
Yeah. And I mean, even with just like high school band, like, you know, getting to be up in front of the ensemble with the live audience behind you and, you know, making your, all these gestures. I actually, at our last concert in May, one of my students, a senior, played a trumpet solo in front with the band as accompaniment. And it was a really beautiful tune called Gabriel's Oboe from the movie The Mission. Never seen it, but it's very, very, very pretty. And he did such a good job. And I just remember being like, oh, wow, we are, you know, everyone is making this, you know, beautiful moment together. Like, the audience is experiencing it, soloist, and then as soon as they're done, the kids are all, you know, like, hey, good job, like, to the soloist and everything, like, and, you know, just to be up there kind of surrounded by all that from all sides, literally, it's really cool. It's very special.
I have those moments sometimes where I'm, you know, speaking live, like I'm doing a live radio broadcast, or if I'm, you know, doing an interview that seems like it's an important live thing or something like that. And, you know, you get into like the kind of the muscle memory of doing it, and you're in the middle of the performance and you're like, I can't think too hard about what I'm doing, because then that will pull me out of
yes.
the screen, right? Where you're having that moment where you're like, wow, what a beautiful moment for this student having.
Yes.
You're like, wait, I kind of got to get back into this before we finish up.
I know. It's really, yeah, it's, I get that a lot, because I'm, astrological sign is Cancer, and I'm not like super into like the astrology and stuff like that, but I know that
you don't have to couch it with that if it helps.
Well, you know, the Cancerians are apparently very nostalgic, so which I am very much so. I'm always like, oh, that was such a good time, you know,
yeah.
Looking back at things like that, and even just with this musical I just did, it was just a really great production, and I would find myself being like, oh, this is so cool, I'm gonna be so sad when this is done, and then like remembering like, oh god, you have to be like focused, there's a cue coming. Then of course at last show I was like, oh god, it's the last one, the first big number, I just totally spaced out and missed the cue to go on. And thank goodness I'm surrounded by very talented musicians in the orchestra and on stage, and they figured it out. But the director gave me a hard time. It's like, wow, that was a really good let's talk process in that opening number there. They're like, really good. I was like, shut up, I know, I'm sorry.
I totally get that. I think that I have that same instinct of in the moment already being nostalgic for the moment.
I love that. Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's okay to be self-aware in that way.
Yeah.
Like, that's like when I tell my students, like, it's so it seems so obvious. And I'm sure that if they had like a swear jar type deal where every time I said this, they put a nickel in, it would be like full. I tell them, you know, this might sound obvious, but when you do good, you feel good about what you did. Like, that's, and like, oh yeah. It's okay to like, you know, feel that sometimes. I think even I, you know, in the music and the arts, there are a lot of very strong personalities and people who are not afraid to toot their own horn about how great they are sometimes. So I think like, sometimes we're afraid to like acknowledge that our successes a little bit, especially like I said, small school band, like it feels very, you know, very small and a very big pond, but I think it's important, especially for my students, to acknowledge, hey, we are great. Like, we are doing great things. Like, when you do good, you feel good about what you do.
Yeah. And I think it's even more important, like, again, for you as their teacher, for them to hear that from you is so important, right? Again, another thing that we talk about all the time, that if they had a jar of things that we talk about on Teacher's Lounge, this would be the other one that would be full, is the Spider-Man thing, right? Like, the great power comes great responsibility of teaching, that you don't know what you're going to say that's going to have a lifelong impact on someone. That, like, it is true that it is so important for people to hear from authority figures that, like, hey, like you said earlier too, this is hard and we did really well and you should be proud about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. And it's really, it's interesting. And it goes back to, like, you know, the band room, the music room being that kind of, like, safe place. You know, I've had kids tell me that it's the only room that they feel safe in, like, or feel okay to express themselves in. And I think it's really, and a lot of the times I know teachers, like, I say it a lot and I don't mean this in any type of way, but I'm sure a lot would agree that teaching is kind of a thankless job sometimes, you know, like,
it's,
we just kind
it's
of
a day-to-day grind.
Yeah. Right? You just
you don't
kind of
have time to reflect back on, like, man, we had a great show today.
Yeah. And you know, and I mean, I love that, you know, I love feedback and I love to hear that we're doing good things, but a lot of the times you'll do good and you'll never hear about it. So, which is just as important and just as special that you're, you know, going out of your way to be great at what you do, because you never know. There are kids who will tell you, but there are some that'll just kind of, you know, quietly acknowledge, like, that and just move on. So,
yeah. I'm curious for you, and you teach at a smaller high school, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, but yes.
Very similar to what I grew up in. I went, like I mentioned, I went to Sandwich, very similar size to Stillman Valley.
Yeah.
When you, the school that you went to, you know, you're from Woodstock.
Yeah.
That was how much bigger was that than Stillman Valley?
Oh, quite, like, quite a couple, like, thousand more, like,
oh, really?
About
so
bigger.
I was curious about what it's been like for you to now be in a smaller school environment, and how, you know, again, just a little bit of the differences and kind of what that atmosphere is like. People talk, you know, I think that we kind of intuitively understand the pluses and minuses to that, about, like, it can be a little bit close-knit, right? Everyone knows everyone, which is good and is also bad sometimes.
I mean, it is very different. You know, like, just, you know, class offerings and everything. Like, we certainly didn't have a agriculture program at Woodstock High School. Maybe they do now. I don't know. But, you know, getting used to that, like, seeing, I will never forget, like, Chaperone homecoming this year, and I was driving up and I watched a couple of kids pull up to homecoming on horseback, and I almost had to stop and, like, have, like, a, you know, like, a visceral reaction, like, wow, that's crazy.
That's what I'm talking about. Usually the sandwich was just tractors. I wish we would have
The tractors too, and I was like, wow, that's really crazy. That did not see that in Woodstock. But I was lucky enough to do my student teaching, shout out Hayworth Junior Senior High School, Kelly Rakowskis.
Shout out.
Amazing experience. My cooperating teacher, she taught everything, basically music, aside from a couple of things. She did general music in fourth grade, then fifth grade band, sixth grade band, junior high band, high school band, and then junior high and high school choir every day, basically. And that was at Hayward Junior Senior High School, which a very small middle of the corn, you know, as well. Like, there's a Casey's in town and that's it. So I had a lot of great experience with that to kind of prepare me for the rural school experience, which I was very grateful for.
That's awesome. It is different, and it's a very fun thing to me to go into those spaces and, again, just see that, again, it gets taken for granted about the level of talent and the level of hard work that gets put in. Because, again, just naturally, these are smaller schools, so they're not getting as much attention from, you know, local media or whatever it even might be, right?
Yeah.
To, you know, the amount of hard work, the amount of dedication, and, again, just the quality of the arts that are going on in these really small places too.
Yeah. And, you know, you have to look for it. It is, the talent is definitely out there, but it's also a process that takes time to develop, especially in the small school, especially coming out of the pandemic, like hurt the numbers in music a lot. So just building that back up, it's been a lot, but it's been worth it to see that, you know, there are kids in these small schools that want to do music, and they want to grow and they want to do good things. So I'm, you know, great to have been a part of that. Yeah.
We always ask people about their, like, teacher origin story. How did you become a teacher in the first place? Again, it seems like for most music teachers, right, the music obviously comes before the teaching comes. So for you, did you start teaching lessons when you were younger? At what point did it transition to, I love playing music, to, I think I would like to teach music?
That's so interesting that for me, it was the teaching part first.
Really?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, because before the music. I don't know. I just always wanted to be a teacher for as long as I can remember. I mean, this is so embarrassing, but whatever.
If anywhere was the right environment.
This is a safe space. I feel safe to share. But I had like the spare room in our basement that I had like set up as a classroom, like not music, like just like general, like I always wanted to be, I actually wanted up until like middle of high school, I wanted to be an elementary school teacher, which no, I could never do that. I don't know what I was thinking. God bless elementary school teachers. And I can tell you exactly when that changed I was lucky enough to get to do this. It must have been sophomore year of high school or junior year early on there. We had like seniors and juniors were taking a test. So sophomores had to go out and like job shadow somebody. And I still wanted to be an elementary school teacher. And my first and second grade teacher, Mrs. Wicker, shout out, was teaching third grade. And I was like, can I job shadow you? And it was great. I mean, it was an amazing experience, obviously. It was so cool to get to do that with her. But I remember distinctly, she said, Mr. Glacey, we're writing a prompt about friendship. Can you write the word friends on the board? So our, in case we have trouble spelling, and I wrote FREIND. I spelled it wrong. I can spell, just to be clear.
And to give you this, my mother is she's retired now, but okay. She spent her career as a kindergarten teacher and then actually later on moved into like middle school art and music too.
Mm.
She thought for her whole life, because she didn't start teaching until she was like 40. She was a career changer.
Yeah.
But she, her entire life, the reason that she didn't pursue teaching right out of high school is that she was like, I can't spell. I can't be a teacher.
Oh, no. I was like, I was traumatized. And I sat down and was like, I am such a nervous person. Like, I'm a very extroverted and, like, you know, social person, but I'm very anxious all the time. A very nervous person. If I have to be, like, tasked to, like, teach a school-age student, like, what a letter is or how a number works, yeah. I can't be the one. So I'll do music instead. We count to four and that's it, you know?
You know, I grew up, actually, you joked about it, when you were younger, you were trying to find, you know, what's going to be my thing? Is it going to be T-ball? Is it going to be music? T-ball actually was my thing.
Okay.
I played baseball for like my entire life.
Okay.
And then I was in like, I think I was probably still in middle school or maybe early high school, right? And they had like tryouts for you to be a part-time, like during the summer, an umpire.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
Like you could umpire, you know, Little League games and things like that. And I was super stoked about it. I'm like, great, they're going to pay me to watch baseball? Happy to do that.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
And so I went into the audition and they're literally like, it's in like this old gymnasium and they like, you know, pretend that this play is going on and someone's sliding into second base and you got to call them out. And I went, you know, the guy slides in there and I go, out, which is the complete wrong gesture that you're supposed to make in that situation. I ruled him safe while yelling out the most confusing thing that you could possibly do in a baseball game.
And
they never called me back after that, unfortunately, which was too bad.
But it was one
of those things where I was like, again, I'm very extroverted, but I was so nervous that I did the, like, again, there were two options, and
it sounds like you were half right, so that's okay, let's celebrate that. Exactly. I get that, in early days, like, again, I still have a lot, I love you know, that I got to do that experience and everything. But the other thing that goes with that was I was getting more into like the high school band experience, which is, you know, a much level up from middle school or elementary school, just in terms of, you know, opportunities and the level of the music that you play. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. And I was really inspired by my high school band director, very good conductor. So that was like, well, you know what, I would love to get to do this. You know, this would be a cool thing to get to teach every day. Of course, just as stressful, if not more so in some ways, but, found out, yeah, that was also a big part of it, was just that, you know, being more involved and realizing over time, like, oh, this is an option. Like, I might want to do this, actually.
You know, I have to say, you said that you were embarrassed to share it, but the whole, like, you being a kid and then also having your own classroom to play school.
Yeah.
You are far from the first person that has mentioned that on show. Did you have stuffed animals that you would put in the desk and teach? Because we've had that multiple times too.
I don't know. My little sister was a sport and actually would put up with being the student. And, you know, like, gosh, I would make worksheets for fun. Isn't that crazy? Like, I asked for like border bulletin board supplies for Christmas. Like, wow, that's a lot to take in.
At least it paid off for you now.
Yeah,
right?
You know what?
You can write that off on the taxes.
Let's go with that. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, funny. You mentioned about, like, you know, being inspired by your high school band director and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we always ask people again is if you want to give out any shout outs to any, because again, this show is about, you know, teachers who are nominated, teachers who are inspiring. Any teachers who inspired you that you just want to give a shout out?
Oh, of course. Well, I already mentioned Mrs. Wicker, my elementary school teacher.
Yes.
Mr. Trakauskas, my cooperating teacher for student teaching. I've been very lucky to have great teachers that I've gotten to, you know, play in ensembles with and work with as colleagues. My fifth grade band teacher, Mrs. Schweiss, who's still doing it, killing it in the fifth grade band game. She teaches at six or seven elementary schools, like just fifth grade band.
Do you get to run in like talk shop with any of these old teachers?
Oh yeah, absolutely. My middle school band teacher, Mr. Erickson, amazing person. Really great educator. My high school band teacher, Mr. Halberstadt, and then a bunch of people at the college level as well. Big one for my conducting is Roger Garrett. It's a great musician, clarinetist in the Peoria Symphony, great baton maker. Which is a very interesting trade.
Like it could be a lost art.
It is. So shout out if you want a baton. Roger Garrett is your guy. So, and a great conductor.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I only have a few more, and we can go through them. I say rapid fire, but we could take as long as we want. It's a podcast, really.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
But so I am curious, right? Like, you are, you transition obviously from being someone who just played music, loved playing music, to you became a professional music teacher. And so I'm curious if your, you know, relationship to music has evolved over the years in terms of not just playing it, listening to music, as that is now an integral part of, you know, your professional livelihood.
Yeah, it's interesting. Kids are always like, what kind of music do you listen to, like, outside of school? I mean,
they ask you what's on the playlist.
I'm a big Swiftie. Like, I love Taylor Swift so much, and I love all kinds of music, but like,
you
Taylor
think I
Swift
had that on the notes already.
Oh, we
do our,
yeah,
research. We've got Taylor Swift questions.
Oh god, that's crazy. I'm ready. I am so ready. But yeah, it's just because it's totally different from like what I hear on a daily basis. Is like, I'm not like, I do listen to like, I listen to, you know, classical. I'm doing air quotes. Classical music, and I love, you know, instrumental music and stuff like that, but sometimes I just, if I'm gonna listen to music, I just want to like something totally different sometimes, because there is so much, you know, that goes into like preparing the pieces that, you know, we're playing in high school band, that we're playing in the Byron Civic Band. I want to, you know, study the scores, do my research there. And
yeah, can you tell me a little bit about that process?
It depends on, you first have to know the skill level of the ensemble and the musicians, or just like where their strengths lie and, you know, what instruments you have. You never want to, it's called over-programming, right? Like, you don't want to give your freshman band like a super hard, you know, piece of music, you know, it's just...
You want to give them something they can play, but it's also challenging.
Right. Them, right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I always think like one grade level above where they're currently at. So it's there's some room to grow there, and it's not boring for the more advanced people, but the most of the kids will, you know, find success in that. It's interesting. I mean, there are, you know, whole college courses about repertoire selection and band literature and all that, you know, hoity-toity stuff. So I won't get too into that, but it's fun to, you know, pick music and, you know, get to do stuff that, you know, I've always wanted to program for ensembles and all that fun stuff.
I'd imagine that makes sense. There are pieces that you're like, one of these days I'm gonna work this in.
Yeah, for sure. So that's been really cool. Except I did that thing that I said don't do my first year of teaching high school, was I gave my, you know, high school band, which is 9 through 12, but it was the year after it was 2021, so it was still very you know, we're still getting used to being together, and I gave them this very intense arrangement of Amazing Grace by Frank Ticelli, which is a beautiful piece, but A, way too hard, and B, you know, four separate French horn parts when I have one, like, all by himself. Like, what was I thinking? Honestly, God bless them. They did fine. It turned out okay, but, you know, it's, you live and you learn in cases like that, so.
Similarly, with your relationship to music evolving, how often do you get the chance to play music yourself these days?
I do. I played trombone in the Woodstock City Band for years and years, until 2 years ago when I finally moved out to be closer to Stillman Valley, which is a great old city band. I'd played in the Byron Civic Band before I transitioned to the conductor, and I also occasionally play in the Dixon Municipal Band, which is another great, there are so many great community ensembles around here. It seems like every, I'm always hearing of a new town, the Blank City Band, like everyone has their own community ensemble. It's really great. So go out and listen to your local community band, because it's great. And I like playing trombone, I really do. But I find myself on the conducting side more nowadays, which I love, obviously.
So we talked about all the different hats that you wear as a teacher, right? We talked about from band to the actual, like, you know, musical to choir. We haven't talked as much about, you know, musicals and choirs as we have about band. So I do want to say, again, just any moments, any things that in particular, we'll start with choir, that you just love that are specific to you know, doing high school choir.
Well, I wish I had stayed in choir and when I was in high school, but I kind of had to pick when I... moved from middle school to high schools, and of course I picked the band route. Woodstock High School has a great choir program, and I so wish I would have stuck with it. So, but I did choir in college. I was just in like the second, you know, the kind of come all sing choir, which I loved. J. Scott Ferguson, conductor, amazing conductor and choral educator at Illinois Wesleyan. Shout out Illinois Wesleyan School of Music. So I'm grateful to be able to done that. Honestly, I think my favorite concert, and this is controversial to say, I'm putting it out there, but I've told people this. I think my favorite concert that I played in college for all of the band stuff I did was actually when I sang in a choir concert. It was actually choir plus orchestra. We did Beethoven's Ninth, the famous Ode to Joy, and I actually sang in that. So sorry to my instrumental professors. I had great instrumental experiences. I did, but that was just a really special performance. So it's, if you can do both, if you stick with both, because they're very special. Community choirs out there too. There are a lot of them. Go listen to your community choir.
Best thing about directing fall musicals?
Well, I direct the directing I do is the fall play. Fall, so I actually know music,
no
which
music.
Is, oh, which interesting. Is interesting. Yeah. Like that, the position just opened and 2 years ago, and I was like, oh, I'll do it. I like theater. I've seen a bunch of musicals and plays and ballets in my time, so I might as well. It's a lot of hard work. So shout out to the theater directors out there. So many shout outs. It's great. But yeah, it's just fun. It's just something that kind of other side of my, you know, creative, you know, just being a neurotic social person, to kind of explore that acting side and give that feedback is just fun. And I get to work with some kids that I don't otherwise get to work with in band. So, and we got, again, Stillman Valley High School, shout out, lots of talented thespians over there in the theater department. So it's just a fun little thing that I get to do extra. So
yeah. And then in Woodstock, you get to direct the orchestra for the musicals.
Yeah.
Any favorite or experiences you've had with that, or just, you know, again, shows that you would really like to, you know, direct the orchestra for musical?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I mean, I have to mention this production of The Prom,
yes,
that we just did, and Theater 121, and all of the production staff and cast and musicians and creative team and everything. It was a really special show, and if you don't know the story, it's very topical for the time. It's about a small high school in Indiana, and a student wants to take her girlfriend to the prom, and because it's obviously a gay relationship, the school board says, oh, well, we don't want that, we're just going to cancel the prom altogether. So it's a really, and all of the tribulations that go with that, and these four Broadway actors come in to kind of help her and help her like salvage this prom, and it's just very emotional, and it's funny as heck, and everyone just did such a good job, and I was just so grateful to be a part of it. I was like fully sobbing by the end when I was, you know, conducting the finale, and it was just,
that's another one, you're conducting the finale and you're like, oh,
I know,
God.
And I was like, oh, I can't see, like because I like fully in tears, but it was just, everyone did such a good job, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of that. And Jorge, the director, Karen, the choreographer, just Heidi, the stage manager, all of them, just everyone did such a good job. I would love to do the Phantom of the Opera someday.
Oh,
like that's
okay.
That's been my like ride or die musical since I was a
you an Andy
kid.
Guy.
You're
an
oh
Andy
yeah.
Guy?
Oh yeah. 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 I wish I was more Stephen Sondheim, but I don't think I'm that smart. Like I
gotta be honest. My girlfriend is a massive musical theater fan, right?
Okay.
And so I didn't grow up with it, but I've gotten more and more exposed to it. We've been together for many years now, mm-hmm. and so I've gotten my chance to see a lot. And I was an Andy Lloyd Webber skeptic for a long time, as you know, understandable.
Yes.
However, I will say, again, talk about local and, you know, regional incredible theater.
Yeah.
I recently, like in May, went to the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Okay.
They did a production of Cats there.
Okay.
That was truly, John, like one of the most transcendent art experiences I've ever seen. They did
as
a circus.
Oh, so yes, I think I heard about that.
Acrobatic and athletic, and it was just it blew my mind, and I was like, okay, like I have to give in, Andy. I get it.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to talk about the Cats movie though, because
we watched it afterwards, and it was just it's frightening, you know.
It's truly terrifying.
It's a real
terrifying
kind of body horror experience, but kind of worth watching due to how bizarre it is.
Yeah, it was tough. That was a tough one.
But you're a fan of guy.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think I've seen it 5 or 6 times. I've seen the sequel, Love Never Dies.
You've seen Love Never Dies?
Oh, you know Love Never Dies.
Oh yes.
My God, Tumblr fan
we
fiction.
We can't always be like Christine.
Oh my God, don't spoil it. That's crazy. Tumblr fan fiction come to life as a sequel. The most music
what if you
is
got
amazing.
To do Love Never Dies. Can
oh,
you imagine?
I can't. I really can't. I'm not sure if I want to. But my God, if you don't know, the most bonkers plot you've ever heard in your life, like, and the ending is just crazy. Like,
talk about true crime.
We'll just put that out there, no spoilers, but it's a journey. It really is. There's some choices that were made in that show, but I do love the music is great.
Oh my God,
that's so funny.
There's going to be at least one person listening to this. It's going to be psyched.
Yeah, someone in their car right now is like,
beauty reference.
Love Never Dies mentioned. Yes. Shout out to that person in your car. That's for you.
Taylor Swift song that you have thought about working into high school band or have you?
Well, we did sight read an arrange. I think it was called Taylor Swift eras or something. It was like a medley.
Right.
And you know what? I respect that she's kind of a polarizing figure, especially for like high school boys who think that they're too cool for school.
I was curious how that is nowadays, right? Like, obviously she was humongous when we were in high school.
Yeah.
And I experience still is, I'd guess.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's like, it's still like, she only writes about her exes, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you don't have to love her, but you cannot deny that she's like the most famous person in the world right now. So like, and also super successful and talented. So if kids complain, I'm just like, you be quiet, child. Like,
I was there when it was written.
Yeah. Like, like I am a grown up, and if I want to sight read Taylor Swift medley in high school band, then gosh darn it, we're going to do it.
Favorite Taylor Swift song, period.
Oh. That's such a hard.
Or just today, you know.
You know, it does change with the weather and the you know, changing of the planets and the tides and whatnot. This is a take, but I'm gonna say the title track from the Tortured Poets Department. It's just kind of a
deep
cut-ish, but it's kind of a bop. And she spills a lot of tea in that song.
Right. It's kind of like stuff. Whether or not you're feeling, you know, upbeat, summery Taylor, or are you feeling introspective, Taylor, of course.
She's just a brilliant, you know, songwriter. Like no one is doing it like her. Again, it's, you know, you don't have to love her, but it's just no one does it like her.
Can I give you mine?
Sure, please. Yes, I should ask.
Again, I would think about this, and you know, maybe on a different day I'd give you a different answer. But right now, I think I'm going to go "Death by a Thousand Cuts."
Oh, that's a good one. That is a really good one. Yeah, that's a good bridge on that one.
Yes.
You know what? Yeah, that's a really good one. I love that.
All right. Only a couple more. You mentioned you were a magician.
Oh, yes. School.
Do you still practice?
Yeah, every now and then. It's you know, it's one of those things. It's kind of like riding a bike. It's the skills never really leave you. So occasionally I kind
of. Do you do it for your students?
No. It's too distracting.
Have they found your
I know. It's all out there. There's hundreds more that I've privated. Like, I don't think that they understand like how, like, I used to say the phrase I use is a minor celebrity in a niche market.
You like did gigs. Like,
oh,
again,
yeah.
Like, this isn't just like, oh, you were interested in magic.
I wrote books.
Like, books?
Yes.
Which I did find, and I like, again, we had a quick turnaround with the interview. I was going to buy one and have you sign it today.
I'm sorry about that. And a lot of it, and I, you know, some instructional DVDs as well.
That's like a whole phase of your life.
It was a lot. It's funny, and not to be like, you know, a downer or anything, but I think the reason it dropped off was, well, A, I went to college to be a music teacher, and it just consumes your life. So, but I was still kind of involved, and I was really, my kind of like magic magician mentor was a guy named Aldo Colombini. He was a very famous Italian magician, came to America. Just the funniest entertainer ever. If you look up Aldo Colombini magic performances, it's just so funny. My favorite line of his was, people always ask me, does he suffer from insanity? No, I love every minute of it. Like, and I think it's just,
that's
like
iconic.
I love that. And so he was kind of like my magic mentor. He was had his own magic production company. I was lucky enough to go to Florida to film with him and his wife Rachel these two DVDs, and I know this is deep lore right now.
Yeah.
Actually, the summer before my freshman year of college, still kind of kept in touch with them into my sophomore year, and then Aldo suddenly passed away. Very random, suddenly. I mean, he's only, must have been in his early 60s, but it was very sudden, and unfortunately, the whole kind of magic, a lot of that part of the magic industry kind of died with him.
Oh, man.
Kind of ended that part of my life a little bit, which, you know, again, kind of sad, but that was tough. So then that, again, just having to focus more on school and everything, because the music ed degree is so busy. But it was a very integral part of my life, and I still have some great magic friends and connections, and Yeah, look up Alda Colombini and watch some magic, and I think you'll love it.
So. I know. Earlier on in the show, I said, you know, playing music is really like a magic trick. You know what else is like a magic trick?
I know.
Magic tricks.
Yes, very. I could see that. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's, I mean, you know, you think of magic and you think of some weirdo pulling a rabbit out of a hat at a kid's birthday party, but it's really stinking cool and fun. So, you know, it's like also a great outlet to just like learn a lot of, you know, cool things,
yeah,
and
for
it
sure.
gets your brain engaged, just like playing an instrument in a lot of ways.
There you go. Last two questions we always end on. We'll do one of them that's about music more specifically, and one of them that's a little bit more broad about teaching.
Okay.
What's just something about playing music you wish more people knew?
Oh, that's such a good question. I'll tell you this. From when I was talking to a student one time, a student who was really, really stressed out about just life and just, you know, going through it with having a really hard time. And I told them that, again, and I'm very open about dealing with, you know, my mental health, anxiety, and all that fun stuff. Not fun, by the way. Mental health is very important. But what I told the student was, they were like, I don't think I can go out and do band today. I was like, I was in your shoes, excuse me, a couple years ago when I was really having a hard time, but I had a rehearsal that I had to go to that I was contractually obligated to be, you know, paid to go to. And I literally, it was a day where I was like, I can't get out of bed. I can't focus on anything else. I was like, I have to go to this rehearsal. And for that 2 hours, I was completely free of all of that stuff because you have no choice but to focus on making music, like, and playing your instrument and being a part of this. So, and that kind of helped that student because, you know, it's music is amazing in the fact that it really does. I mean, cliche, it saves a lot of lives. It's a creative outlet that, when you're at your lowest, you will go out and it feels like nothing else. Everything melts away and you have nothing else to focus on but playing your instrument. So, yeah.
And then what's something about teaching you wish more people knew?
It's hard. It's hard, it's you guys. So hard. It's so stressful. I love it, but it's, you know, thank your kids' teachers because, and you know, that old cliche, like teachers spend so many hours of the day with your kids, you know, like it is. I made the joke at our last band concert at Stillman when I was saying bye to the senior class. It's like, you blink and you realize that you're a 30-year-old man who's been going to high school for the last like 30 years of his life, last like 15 years of his life, you know, but I wouldn't change any of it for the world because you get to experience, you know, the joy of making music with, you know, talented, wonderful students. So thank your kids' teachers, keep your kids in band and choir, encourage your kids to do music and the arts because it will change lives. It does. It really, really does. You never know. So that's what I'd say.
John, that was it.
Thank you. It was so much fun.
Thank you so much for listening to Teacher's Lounge. As always, nominate a teacher in your life to be on the show. It's how we get all of our great guests like John. Send them our way to teacherslounge@niu.edu. Wherever you're hearing the podcast, please subscribe. Please leave us a rating or share it with a friend. It's the best way to get even more perspectives, even more educators on the show. A big thank you to the Northern Illinois band Kind Ofs for the music you hear each and every episode of this show. And I have been your host, Peter Medlin, and we'll be back with more Teacher's Lounge very soon. See ya.